What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Today on the ZabeCast, DK's very expensive Christmas lump of coal, Kansas City robs Kansas City, and the rules of jinxing your own team in a group chat. Let's go to Utah! It's a great place for Charge to be, and he joins us now with a special guest to open the pod. Hello, Charge. Hello, Eric Gitter.
Hello.
Hey, everybody. Super excited to be here. But as people hear this, it is Christmas Eve, correct? And it's a magic time of year. I'm a Christmas Eve family, not a Christmas Day family. We do all our stuff Christmas Eve. And so kind of game on for us on Christmas Eve. Family gets together. The presents are unwrapped. We do pink elephant Christmas games where, you know, people randomly get crappy, funny gifts. One of those kind of deals. Yeah, it's, you know.
Okay.
I love it. I'm in.
Is anyone due to get a lump of coal in their stocking, the likes that DK Metcalf has received from the league yesterday, getting a 2-game suspension for going after the blue-wigged idiot in Detroit and maybe punching him, maybe swiping at him, maybe pawing at him, whatever. But the 2-game suspension is going to cost him nearly $500,000 in lost salary unless he wins on appeal. And more importantly, charge his $40 million in future guarantees have been voided by this suspension. It doesn't mean he won't necessarily get it. It just means if the Steelers want to change their mind, they could.
Now they can.
Wow.
And I think I think they will. I think they will. And interesting that that language was even in the contract. So, you know, when the trade went down and the Steelers re-upped DK Metcalf, not everybody's got language that voids your guarantees if you take a league-imposed suspension. But the Steelers, knowing DK Metcalf had the foresight to put that clause in, and Metcalf's group agreed to it, thinking he would keep his nose clean. Didn't work out.
Yeah, well, the Steelers have had a long history of idiot, psychopath, and criminal wide receivers. And so therefore, they're probably like, look, We like this guy. We think he's way less crazy than George Pickens, who is also less crazy than Antonio Brown, but still a little crazy because he's an NFL wide receiver. Let's put this language in there just in case.
Just in case. You know, they had the Plaxico Burress ramp up to Antonio Brown. Let's not forget that for the Steelers as well.
Yes. Wasn't Plax a giant when he shot himself in the leg?
Yeah, when he shot himself, he was a giant. He was a giant at that stage.
But still was also once a Steeler. Somebody, I think PFT commenter tweeted, at this point we have to legitimately wonder if there is something in the water at the Steelers facility that turns their wide receivers into lunatics.
And had George Pickens just not gone off the rails for two games, we'd be talking about how all these receivers, they leave Pittsburgh and they do better.
He went Pittsburgh, Giants, Jets, back to Pittsburgh.
Ah, there you go. The full circuit right there.
Yep. Well done.
So any sympathy for him, boys, at all? I have a little bit of sympathy in that.
Yes.
The fan was leaning over the railing. Hey, Dick, watch the game. How about? Would be an idea. You watch the game. Let these guys play the game.
Now the fan has come up.
There's some. Did he say what? Did he say?
Did he call him his real name? Called him the government name, which is apparently a faux pas in some communities.
I don't know why. I don't know enough about why that would be a problem. But the guy, Blue Hair, put out a statement saying he did not use a racial slur. To be clear, and he wanted to, because there was an assumption of that. Now, 9 out of 10 times, I'm against whoever's got the blue hair. I'm on the other side of whoever's got the blue hair.
And you side with the athlete?
In this case, I think I do, because now you, Zabe, glossed over, was it a swipe? Was it a punch? Was it a slap? Was it a pull? You know, here's the thing. I don't think there was any contact made with the kid. I think there was contact made with his hair.
I don't think there was contact made with the kid.
If you start screaming stuff at a player and you are trying to elicit a reaction from that player, within the realm of possibilities is going to be, I'm going to get punched. And you know what? You keep doing it. That's on you. That's on you. Yeah. Should the player punch a fan? No. Nevertheless, I don't think he punched him. I don't even think he made contact with his body. But to me, if you're going to bring your heckling to that level where you are leaning over into the sidelines, you have assumed a certain amount of responsibility for this situation.
Well, guys like Blue Hair are talking shit they would never talk on a street corner if they came up toe-to-toe with Metcalf, an absolute monster.
Absolutely not.
So they face no threat of getting their ass whooped. And at worst, they face the possibility of being kicked out of the game or having their tickets revoked. Okay, not real consequences in the big scheme of life. So therefore, you should maybe step a little bit more gingerly about how you talk to these athletes who are out there risking CTE, broken legs, and all kinds of shit for your entertainment. I guess I'm sort of exhausted by the whole influencer culture. And I know I'm technically a influencer of sorts, but I don't try to be that kind of douchebag. But that said, enough of these assholes inserting themselves into the games.
I look at it this way. Would what you're saying to the player embarrass your parents? If it embarrasses your parents, you probably shouldn't say it.
How about embarrasses the guy sitting next to you? I've been to games, Skinner, where I don't want to name names, Jason Autumn, but he was yelling shit at Cubs players that I'm like, okay, again, I don't mean to name him by name, Jason Autumn, but he was like saying shit out there at the Barrel Yard. And I'm like, really, dude? In fact, he was calling Ian Happ. I forget what it was. It was a very unflattering thing that I guess I can say.
So something stronger than hapless?
Yeah, it was something like that. It was something where I go, dude, there's a kid nearby. And Jason says, don't worry, I talked to his dad. He said it's okay to call him that.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Let me call Jason right now and see if he answers and ask him what was it that he called the kid that got me all triggered, because I was embarrassed. It was over the top is what it was. I'm like,
I was
come on,
while
man.
While you're doing that. Oh, here
yeah,
we
hold
go.
On a second. Let's. This is a test of whether Jason is a first ring pickup guy with me or not,
or if he's awake. Even
he could not be awake. He might not be awake. Question. He also might be in a meeting right now, an early morning meeting. Yeah, probably is in a meeting. Normally, if he and I call each other, it's an instant ring pickup. So.
Your call has been forwarded.
Yeah, okay, all right. I'll text him and find out. You were going to say, Church.
In an Omaha Storm Chasers game, was sitting behind home plate, because the tickets to sit behind home plate at the Omaha Storm Chasers game are about $12. So I'm like, if I'm going to go to a minor league game, I may as well have great seats. And so I'm sitting right behind home plate, and there's a guy behind me, like row two, row three, he has honed his comedic routine through years of heckling. He is so good. He's got 9 innings of unique heckles ready to roll, and does not have to repeat himself. It was a work of art that had taken years to cultivate. I was blown away that this guy was so good and had so much fresh material for 9 innings of heckling.
I don't know if that's, to me, a lot of the heckling is cringe, and it gets annoying and uncomfortable for me sitting in the stands. But as far as this thing goes, DK's an idiot. He let his emotions get the better of him. Imagine flushing $500,000 because you couldn't take one dipshit in the stands. Unbelievable.
Imagine if they had lost the game.
The 40 million.
Yeah.
Now, the 40 million hurts just as much.
Yeah.
More.
Now, you understand from the league standpoint why they did this is because they don't want anything getting in the way of the gravy train that is the league's financial runaway train of money, 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 money everywhere, right? And so while this probably wasn't a mortal threat, I think the NFL knows just how badly the malice at the palace hurt the perception of the NBA. And so they don't want any meetings, especially not right before Christmas, right? Because if they didn't come down on him hard, they would have to, we got a Zoom call with Coca-Cola today. They're getting some pushback. Coca-Cola doesn't like the optics of this, of an NFL player swiping at a fan. Oh, fuck, a Zoom meeting. He's ready to go up to the cabin I have, the $6 million house in Vermont I've got. As an executive in the NFL with my family, I got to do this now. So they clobbered DK Metcalf on that. It's a case of, you know what? It was bad, but you shouldn't do it. But it's probably not that big a deal, which brings us to the reason that Gitter is with us right now, Charge. And that is, what are
he's
the rules?
He's the blue hair guy.
Chink-ting?
It was Gitter all along. He's blue hair guy.
All along. Shocking.
Well, he was blue hair guy on Saturday night during the Bears-Packers game. So I bring you to the situation, group chat, bunch of us, getting all frothy and chippy, talking about the game on the big group chat. And it was after the Dobbs touchdown to make it a whopping 10-point lead with still time left in the third quarter. Eric James Gitter says, quote, D-A-G-G-E-R. And I immediately said, Gitter. Others on the text chain chimed in with, what are you doing? And of course, what happened. The unthinkable, the unimaginable, the cascade of events mirroring the 2014 meltdown in Seattle in the NFC Championship game. The jinx came home in horrific fashion. Gitter has not yet to this day owned up to the jinx, which is really my anger with him. The jinxing of it by saying dagger prematurely, I get it. We all get carried away. It felt kind of dagger-ish. He won't apologize. He won't apologize, though, for jinxing it. And that's what's got me triggered.
Who do I need to apologize to if I were to apologize?
Those of us.
For what?
Those of us who said at the time, you're jinxing it.
But you just said it yourself. You thought the game was basically over at that point.
I thought it.
The Bears weren't doing shit on offense the entire game.
Thinking. I don't put it out into the ether, into the universe, into where the gods can hear it and then get angry.
You don't think the gods can hear what you're thinking?
No, they can't. No, the gods can't quite get into your brain, thank God.
How about apologizing to Wayne Larrabee? That's who I think the apology should go to.
The man who owns
only
the
one
phrase,
man.
And there
only one man
is should, your dagger.
Should I text him? That. Should I text Wayne? I'll do that as soon as we're done.
I think so.
Gitter and I know Wayne very well. And yes, and I believe Wayne told us once, Gitter, he's only once ever issued a premature dagger.
That sounds right. Yes.
I think
pretty good.
I don't know what.
I think he told us once. He's like, yep, one time I did it and it was too early. But yeah.
Maybe it was the Seattle game.
It might have been the Seattle game. So, yeah. So, Charge, the etiquette in your mind of this kind of thing on a group chat?
Well, in fantasy, where it's super annoying is people who have a moment of frustration, like third quarter of the early games on Sunday, to declare their fantasy team dead, you know, particularly in Guillotine. Well, that's it. I'm going to get you off.
Heard that before.
Meanwhile, it's, you know, we still have like, you know, 8 games left to play and 3 are going right now or whatever. And the premature, there's what I want to do is say, anybody who declares themselves dead, you lose. You take the guillotine. You declare yourself dead, you are chopped. If you declare yourself a loser.
Yes, on our Whiskey League chat, we have had guys who say, oh, you're out? Okay, good. Done. Like, it's official. It's like conceding a putt in golf, Gitter. Once it's conceded, cannot be unconceded. But, Charge, if I may, get off your nerd shit fantasy for a second. Can you please channel your inner fan? Nobody gives a shit about fantasy. What is your etiquette on, as a fan with a big high-stakes game in a group chat, calling dagger or game over when it's not nearly over? I mean, that
It depends. Now, if you are a Viking fan, if you're a Viking fan in a Packer group chat, oh, it's great trolling. That's outstanding trolling right there.
All right, you're again missing the point here. I think I asked the wrong guy. I thought you were a fan, Charge. I thought you knew group chat etiquette. This is your own team, your own friends, declaring your own team a winner way too early, therefore angering the gods. Do you not understand jinxes? Do you not believe in jinxes? Are you
don't believe in jinxes? And I like the idea of tormenting the other people on the chat because they don't have the balls to call a game over when it's probably over. You know,
because
you know what? You know how much cowardice it takes to go, well, there's always a chance. There's always a chance.
Yeah. See,
you know, that's cowardice. If you've been
you right now, Charge, I would.
So as soon as the game is 3-0, you could go dagger. And then you could
That's too early.
Call it.
But a 10-point lead with a whole quarter to play is not
based
too
on
early.
What was happening over the course of the game at that point.
It doesn't matter.
I talked
matter
to other people on the group chat
before.
In person on Sunday, and they said, yeah, we all thought the same thing too.
Here's the thing.
Don't give me this.
Yeah. The 3-0 dagger is brilliant because all you're going to do is bring heat on yourself. That is perfect text string fodder right there. I love it because you know you're going to rile up the text thread, and that's fantastic. Get
Charge,
everybody worked up because it's
right
3-0.
Your complete misunderstanding of the dynamic is actually riling me up. So either you're doing it on purpose or you just simply don't get it. The thing is, Gitter said when he was being bombarded as the whole game was unraveling, Gitter said, well, if I'm wrong, I'll eat it or I'll wear it. That means apologize.
No, that doesn't. That just means I happened to be wrong. On that particular
how are you wearing or eating anything?
I'm not backtracking from what I said. That's me eating it.
Okay.
And owning it. I'm not running away from it.
But you're also not apologizing.
I have nobody to apologize to.
Are you like Stanley Hudson in The Office? I never apologize.
That's not true. I've apologized many times in my life, probably to you at some point.
Okay.
But I'm not apologizing.
Will you apologize ever for calling a game too early?
No.
Okay. Will you apologize for, I'm trying to think what would else be at the...
Well, like, will you acknowledge you're wrong?
No, he didn't do that either. He said, I wasn't wrong. The players just fucked up.
Yeah.
I think there's a distinction between saying I was apologizing and saying I was wrong. I mean, I was wrong is that's a fact. Apology is
sure.
To whom, and Skitter's right. To whom do I owe an apology? I was wrong. That doesn't mean I owe an apology.
The outcome I predicted did not happen. There. How's that?
Well, right. I know, but there is a feeling amongst us, like when you're in a group dynamic and we're all rooting for the same thing, pulling for the same positive outcome, for you then to jump the gun and do that, it sort of puts a little bit of a bad juju into the whole mix. So you're what are you superstitious about then, Gitter? If you're not superstitious about this, anything?
I would say more so things on the golf course, but yeah, nothing in terms of cheering for my own teams.
So
nothing I can do is going to change the outcome of the game.
So if we're at the turn and you're playing great 2 under, and I go, "Damn, Gitter, you got a shot to go low today,"
I would be pissed.
But there you go. And I would say, what? I just watched you shoot 2 under.
But that refers directly that's directly on me. That has nothing to do with me cheering
because
for
that
the Packers
could,
or
that,
the Badgers,
right? Because you're the one in the arena, so to speak, trying to shoot the score.
Correct.
Okay. That would put pressure.
If I was on the team and I'm on the sideline, I'm not saying it. But me as a fan sitting on my couch watching the team doesn't mean two shits what I say.
Okay. All right.
I think Zabe would say that he owes you an apology. If he says you're going to shoot a 72 today, and you come up and you shank a slice, then Zabe, that's it. I think by your own rules, you owe an apology.
All right, Stanley Hudson has to leave. He never apologizes. Gitter, we'll talk to you soon. All right.
Merry Christmas, fellas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye. See you, Gitter.
See ya.
Hey, Al Baldo here, and as you know, I threw in the towel on the whole hair battle a long time ago. But you know what? For a lot of you out there, this can be a stressful process. You're looking in the mirror every day, watching it happen, wondering what actually works and what is just snake oil. Well, here's the thing. You shouldn't have to rearrange your life to figure this out on your own. Hims makes it simple. Through Hims, you get 100% online access to personalized treatment plans with doctor-trusted ingredients that actually work, like finasteride and minoxidil. We're talking chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. These ingredients can help stop further hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. No awkward doctor visits, no hidden fees or surprise costs, just real personalized care on your schedule that puts your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/zabe. That's hims.com/zabe for your online free visit. That's hims.com/charlie-zulu-alpha-bravo-echo. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Future products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Yeah. I just found it incredible that he was so sure that this game was over and said so with a full quarter left to go.
Should have been. The onside kick success rate is like 6%.
8%.
I mean, 8%. Yeah. Thank you. 8%. I think you can say it's over knowing the other team has got an 8% chance of winning. I think.
Yes, but the NFL's insane success is built on the fact it's never over. And here's how crazy the NFL has gotten. Did you see earlier this year, Vrabel was asked about whether the NFL should put tenths of a second on the game clock in the final minute to ensure split second accuracy, a la the NBA?
NBA? No, I did. I had not seen that.
Yes.
Which side was Vrabel on this?
He was like, yeah, that might be a good idea. I just shook my head. I said, good Lord. This league can't see obvious pass interference when it's right in front of their eyes, like they didn't in the Ravens-Patriots game. They didn't even throw a flag on DJ Moore's game-winning catch when Keyshawn Nixon was riding on him like a child on a pony. And if he had dropped it would have been a huge controversy.
It would have been, and deservedly so, would have been a huge controversy. It's a good thing he caught it from that respect. And they can't get either side of the pass interference correct. They do call it when they shouldn't. They don't call it when they should. It is the most mismanaged penalty. And it's so dreadfully punitive, right? I mean, spot foul, 45 yards downfield, just major game changer. I would love to see that penalty get reduced to a maximum of first down and 15 yards because it's way too easy now. When you need the figurative Hail Mary, you're not even trying to complete the pass as much as you're just hoping you get PI. That's because it's the same thing. It's easier to get PI than it is to complete that long pass downfield.
It's hard to officiate, but some of the ones they miss are absolutely blatant. And this is why when the league went to the laser first down yardage measurement and they killed the chain gang, and some midwits were all like, yay, it's about time we had something more accurate. It just makes me laugh because, technically it's more accurate in theory when you're doing a judgment call with your eyeballs to spot the ball when the knee was down with the shoulders, where was the ball at the time, blah, 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 forward progress. It's all vague. It's all judgment. And then you're going to get super precise with lasers and everything else. So the notion of putting tenths of a second on a game clock, it's dumb as hell. But that's
remember that thing was all the talk in the preseason is that we are going to virtual measurement. And then the first couple of weeks, we had a bunch of virtual measurements. And then it died out for a long time. And I didn't see one for like 2 months. And then we got one this past week. We got one.
Right.
I'm like, okay, clearly something has changed within the league where they have decided maybe it wasn't accurate. Maybe something happened. Maybe their sponsor, it's Sony.
That thing is a sponsored
Sony thing. Maybe the sponsorship didn't go right. Maybe somebody wasn't paying their bills.
I'm going to tell you what it was, Charge. It was that actual chain measurements were so rare to begin with. We just never realized how rare they were. Like literally to have a chain measurement, you've got to have you know, a really close first down spot. It just didn't happen very often. And there's always the yard markers to guide you to go, well, we've spotted it with the nose of the football over the 47-yard line, and the first down to gain is at the 46 3/4. We don't need to measure that. We already know it's a first down. Anyway, there's bigger issues going on in the NFL.
Before we get totally off on this, earlier you were talking about blue hair guy trying to insert himself into the game.
Yeah.
We're there to watch the players, not blue hair guy. The other people who love to insert themselves into the game are the referees. They love to be part of the narrative. You can't convince me otherwise. Vikings game this past weekend, 22 penalties in accepted penalties in the Vikings game. 22. I mean, there's no possible way the refs aren't having a massive, massive role in the outcome of the game when you are changing the outcome of 22 plays.
Assert this, and I ask you why. Why would they, what do they benefit from this? Why would they want to throw a lot of flags?
I think they like being part of the game narrative. They like the attention. They like being part of the outcome of the game rolls through the egos of some of these refs, which is why there are crews that call a lot of penalties and there are crews that call fewer penalties. You would think that if all crews acted equally, there wouldn't be crews that call way more penalties than other crews. I think there are crews that have egos and guys that like to be part of the process.
But do they call more penalties out of ego or because they really believe in the rules? They're law and order referees. They're strict constructionists about that's holding, that's offsides. Like you say that the fact some crews are more flag happy than others, which can be tracked, and I don't deny that, you're saying that comes from a motivation of ego. I say it may come from either a motivation of I just call the rule strict, or they got downgraded last week for not calling certain things. Because remember, the league reviews them, and they look and they're like, this is supposed to be roughing. Why didn't you call it? And their jobs and their progression to get the better assignments and even stay as a referee or a line judge or a back judge or a half judge depends upon getting good grades. How do you know their motivation to throw more flags isn't out of self-preservation, not ego?
Well, every penalty has got subjectivity to it, right? There's virtually no penalties that don't have a degree of subjectivity to them. And
correct.
I think there are some refs that decided they are going to err on the side of calling more penalties. I think 22 penalties is bad for the game of football. You've interrupted and reversed the outcome of 22 plays. That's not good for the game. It slows the game. It changes the outcome. It's bad, objectively bad football, bad for the brand, bad for the league, bad for fans.
Yeah, it was also you guys and the Giants. Y'all both suck. Y'all know that, right?
Hey, like Vikings are going to finish penalties. 500.
Well, hang a banner.
That's right,
for that.
Baby.
Oh, yep.
500.
By the way, you're not there yet. You're only 7-8, so stop counting your chickens. And by the way, you can't finish 500. You can only finish a little bit over or a little bit under.
A little under. That's right. I'm hoping for the over. I think I'm hoping for the over. What's going to happen in Minnesota, I don't want to turn this into Vikings talk here, is J.J. McCarthy's not going to play on Christmas Day because of his hand injury. And then if he doesn't play week 18, disaster scenario for Minnesota, really, because if you weren't going to win.
You host Green Bay.
Host Green Bay in the finale.
Yes.
For the Vikings, looking at this season, if you weren't going to win games, the other thing you had to do was walk away knowing whether or not J.J. McCarthy was the quarterback of the future. And right now, it just looks like he's probably not, but you can't say it with certainty because he's played better lately. And it's going to leave the Vikings in a position where they can't go get potentially the next quarterback after J.J. McCarthy because teams never do that. And so they're going to roll with J.J. McCarthy again into another season, not knowing if he is requisite of an NFL starter's job.
Are you a trade back guy? Not that your Vikings will be in a position of trading back, but are you in general?
If you don't need a quarterback, yes, I am a trade back guy. You're better off with extra picks because you probably screw up picks.
I got the ultimate Gary Myers trade back scenario. Gary Myers still with the New York Post? No, he's not.
Yeah.
Once a giant story, victory, tragedy, life, football, blah, 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 blah. HBO's inside the NFL. Gary Myers, he's not with the New York Post anymore or Daily News. Was he Daily News or New York Post, Gary Myers?
Daily News.
New York guy.
I believe.
Okay.
Yep.
Gary Giants. Myers, here's my game plan for the Giants in the next few months. One, lose to Raiders and to Cowboys to secure number one pick. The Giants
yes,
control
correct.
Their Bing destiny Bing. In Tankathon 2025.
Yes. Yep. The Raiders Two. Loss is hard. That is not an easy ask. That's a big ask. So let's just not just gloss over that part. You got to lose to the Raiders.
This is going to be a spectacular suckhole of football at the Meadowlands between these two teams. Number two, root for quarterback needy Raiders, Jets, Browns, and Cardinals to have picks 2 through 5 in any order.
Yep.
Number three, Fernando Mendoza plays fantastic in college football playoffs. Dante Moore of Oregon plays great too and declares mm-hmm. for draft early.
Could happen.
Step 3B, bidding war for the number one pick ensues, forcing team picking yep. number two to outbid the other three spots to flip and take Mendoza. Step yep. four, Giants trade to number two from one, picking up assets along the way, then leverage that pick and trade down again.
Again, yeah.
But staying in the top five for a team that wants more as their B-side QB runner-up choice. Step five, Gary Myers. Giants get wide receiver or offensive tackle in top five plus extra first rounders and or other draft capital in each of the two trades. Step six, don't even think about taking Mendoza and trading Jackson Dart. Example, Jets trading Sam Darnold and taking Zach Wilson in 2021. How'd that work out?
I love his plan, and he's not wrong on any of it. And the bidding war would likely net the Giants 2 or 3 first-round picks from a team that's sitting at 2, 3, 4, or 5 and wants to move up to number one. The Vikings, numerous reports, the Vikings, when they drafted J.J. McCarthy at 10, they had offered 3 first-round picks to move to pick number 3 to get Drake May, and the Patriots said no. So that was a 10-3 move that the Vikings tried to pull off with 3 first-round picks, couldn't get it done.
Do you think that Mendoza or Moore are sexy enough to get a team to vomit up picks to go get them?
Quarterbacks always are. Quarterback needy teams will always find a way to ensure that the desperation level. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. And the desperation level is so high, teams will convince themselves that players are worth it.
Okay. Why do you think anyone who either covers or roots for the Giants thinks that they're set at quarterback with Jackson Dart? Are they delusional? Do they not see all the red flags with this guy?
Well, okay. I mean, concussions, clearly one of them.
His passing has been
for a rookie, passing has been pretty good, not great, but has been pretty good.
Right.
I think you got to figure out, do you have a pocket passer that can guide you to victory? Is he ultimately going to be good as a pocket passer? He's always going to be a scrambler, but I don't think the designed runs are in his future because he's already had 5 diagnosed concussions or 5 concussion diagnoses.
Diagnoses.
So Dart, I don't know that Dart's the answer, but here's the thing we know, Zabe. Every other position on a team, on an NFL team, They always want competition. They best man win. You know, we're going to bring in a bunch of guys and they're going to scrap for that guard spot. And, you know, whoever comes out on top, that guy's going to be our guard, but not quarterback. Oh, no. The most important spot on our team. Oh, we have to protect the fragile psyche of our presumed starter. We can't have an actual competition because our quarterback will wither under the pressure. It's so dumb that teams do this, and they do it all the time. This is your most important spot is the one where teams refuse to put competition in, and I think that's what the Giants will do. I would love for the Giants won the first overall pick, put it towards a quarterback, and just said, let the best man win. We don't care. We're walking out of this with a great quarterback one way or another. That would be awesome. And if your worst case scenario is a year later, they're both great, go trade one.
When has that ever happened? Oh, we got two great quarterbacks.
Yeah,
gee, what do we do?
Teams won't do that. Teams won't do it.
Right. 277. Charge 277. That's the number. 277 dropbacks. No. 277 dropbacks on Jackson Dart so far. 62% completions, 13 over 5 touchdowns to INTs. That is such a small sample. And to think that you would know you're set at the most important position and you would try to execute this triple Lindy of a double trade back from 1 to 2 to 2 to 5 to still stay in there to be able to get your OT or WR that you want. It's so comical reading Gary Myers say this, thinking it's the Giants. They've been run incompetently now for the last 20 years. What makes you think they can pull this off? I bet you first fuck up they do is they win this game against the Raiders and it makes everything moot.
Yeah, well, that is probably true. You know, keep in mind, Jackson Dart cost them a first rounder last year. And it's going to be the same people making these picks, and they are not going to want to admit that they didn't get what they wanted out of their first rounder.
Yeah.
I don't think the Giants are going to take a quarterback. Doesn't work that
way.
Next story.
Kansas City robs Kansas City. As you know, there's actually two sides to Kansas City. There's Kansas City, Missouri, and there's actually Kansas City, Kansas. Kansas City, Missouri, even though I've never been, is apparently the bigger, beefier, nicer, more restaurant side of Kansas City. Kansas City, Kansas is kind of like the rump end of Kansas City. It's what's left over. Is that a fair characterization?
Having been to Kansas City several times, that has changed. You're right. The city straddles both states. Missouri is a left-leaning state. Kansas is a right-leaning state. And because of tax changes and a lot of other things, the Kansas side over the last 10 years has grown
rallying. Okay.
Yep. The Kansas side is dramatic, is rallying. Yep. And they built out commerce, downtown, you know, restaurants, stuff like that. It's growing on that side now.
Yesterday, the Chiefs announced that they signed an agreement to move and build a new stadium, domed stadium, not retractable roof, but domed in Kansas City, Kansas, with the assistance of $1.8 billion in public money from the Kansas State Legislature. It is the most money ever in raw dollars of public money for a new stadium. And many people are just screaming bloody murder, saying that Kansas has ripped off their taxpayers. And there's people on the other side of the river saying, oh, woe is us. The old tradition of outdoor Arrowhead is gone forever. We must drive 19 miles across the border and go sit inside where it's 72 degrees and you can take your coat off, which, by the way, I don't think is a bad thing because I've been to your stadium, Church, and I quite like it, U.S. Bank up there in Minneapolis. Tell me where you come down on Kansas City robbing Kansas City.
I hate that we're losing another outdoor stadium. So in the last 5 months, 4 months, we have lost 3 outdoor stadiums, and it sucks. Man,
This was the latest. Kansas City is going to a dome. The Commanders are going to build a dome. Final rendition.
I didn't
is
even think about that.
Set. Well, they are. Yeah,
Cleveland,
the Commanders will be indoors. Cleveland's indoors, and Buffalo is
outdoors.
Not indoors.
Buffalo's outdoors. You're missing Denver.
Oh, Denver's new one's indoors, huh?
Denver's new one's going to be indoors too. This is not meant to be a sterile game. This is not the NBA where everything, the conditions are pristine. That is not how this game works or should work.
Were you against the US Bank design?
Yes. Yes. I wanted outdoor Minnesota football. Absolutely. Just like the Packers. Just like the Packers.
It's so economically reckless, though, to build that. Because you're talking about 8 events a year. That's it.
That's right. Yeah, well, and you get a Super Bowl. You automatically get a Super Bowl for building a new stadium on the backs of the taxpayers. You get one for sure. But usually only one. And these are cold weather cities that we're talking about, so they won't get more than one in all probability. The tax situation is fascinating to me. Kansas is a state with a surplus. Missouri is a state that is struggling to meet its financial obligations. Kansas had the money and wherewithal to pull it off, and they grabbed their team. Now, the cost of doing business in almost every NFL city is sooner or later, your tax base is going to have to pony up some number, a billion plus. If you want to keep your team, sooner or later, you're going to have to pay.
Yeah, this is what I said on Twitter, and this was after an exchange last night with a college friend of mine, never girlfriend, but a college friend of mine who is married to a university professor at Kansas State. She is very liberal, and she was screaming bloody murder about this. And I said, yeah, I agree. They shouldn't give billionaires more money for stadiums, but now do all the other stuff that is wasted in government. I was trying to get her to admit that, oh, yes, there's a lot of other waste. So this doesn't really move me much, especially not when $9 billion and rising is being accounted for having been fraudulently sent out of your former state, Minnesota, to fucking Somalia. That's just the beginning. There's more fraud coming, and now Walls is like, I'm going to crack down on this. Shut the fuck up. You were in on it, buddy.
I don't know if you've seen this stat from the Minnesota fraud. Now, Somalis have more perpetrated fraud in 1 year just from Minnesota than the gross national product of the country of Somalia.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me. As someone else put it, the country's known for piracy. That's their main industry. Why are you surprised they came here and they executed a long con piracy by getting elected to political positions, forming a reliable voting bloc that was bribable with these kickbacks? Hello?
People talk about bringing vibrant other cultures to Minnesota. And I'm trying to, when I ask myself or anybody that I know from Minnesota, how has the Somali culture positively impacted your life, enriched your life as Minnesotans? And nobody can give me an answer. And that includes food. Their food is certifiably awful. People hate their food.
Of course it is.
So you don't even get that. So it's, that's the, don't get me going on this. It's frustrating.
Back to the exchange with my friend I went to UCSB with, who now lives in Kansas. And I was trying to get her to, I'm with her on the general point, which is it's a bullshit situation that any tax money should go to an existing billionaire, because Clark Hunt and his family worth $25 billion, I think, is the number right now. So they could have easily afforded it. But there's so much waste everywhere else. I'm not really, I'm a bit sanguine, as the word goes, about this kind of money being spent, because money is being wasted left and right like a fire hose on fraud and stupid programs and bullet trains that go nowhere and aren't getting built in California. So this is just one of those things. And I said on Twitter, I go, look, if you're a Chiefs fan, you need to come to grips with A, owners have things that are valuable. They own a football team that has a huge value. They own it. It's reality. Secondly, things cost what they cost. So if you want the team to build a stadium and have it in your jurisdiction, it's going to cost X amount of public dollars. And it costs what it costs, meaning the other side of the river was only willing to go to $1 billion, and their side went to 1.8. You lose. Things cost what they cost. Owners, billionaires own valuable things. And if you think it's a bad deal for Kansas, which it probably is in the net-net end run of it, laugh at them and say, well, looks like I'm driving 19 miles away instead of to Arrowhead and I don't have to bring a coat. Life goes on. In other words, Charge, you cannot be simultaneously angry about, woe is us, the tradition of Arrowhead is dead, while at the same time shaking your fist at Kansas for stealing your team. You can only be one of the two. You can be woe for Arrowhead and, Kansas, you fucking idiots. You have overpaid. You are wasting your money. I am so glad that my state, Missouri, will not have to pay for this boondoggle. I'll drive right over. It's like your neighbor's building a swimming pool that you still get to use. No splashing it.
Yeah, if you live in Missouri, this is a big win for you. Other than the 19 miles, it's a huge win for sure. You don't have to pay for that stadium in any way. So
painted as a win. You know what? This will be a beautiful stadium. Yeah, it's indoors, but it's fewer seats. I'm sure the ticket prices are going up. But when you do get a ticket to a game from a friend, or whomever, or from work, and you probably don't have to pay for it, you're going to have a phenomenal fucking experience. I guarantee it. Enjoy that. Lean into that. I never got to Arrowhead, and I probably never will. It looks like the way the crowd swoops up into the heavens away from the field is just not great viewing. It looks colder than fuck in the winter with the Kansas winds whipping across the plains. Their stupid Jumbotron is a tiny oval. An oval for a Jumbotron?
I like it because it's unique. And I love the history of the stadium. And, you know, it's
cool.
It's sad that it's going to become yet another antiseptic stadium that is always played in pristine. I'll make two things on this.
You say antiseptic. I want to jump in on this. Sorry to interrupt. But you say antiseptic, and people are complaining about how all these stadiums now copying off of SoFi's paper, copying off of U.S. Bank, and they're starting to look cookie cutter. Your antiseptic is my optimized. You say it's an antiseptic trend. I say, no, stadiums are optimizing. They're figuring out this is how you build them so that they are great. Gleaming glass, translucent roofs, or side panels to let in natural light. Indoors so you can have conventions and other events there because we're paying a shit ton of money for this. These are optimized stadiums. Sorry they don't look like Baroque architecture that you can nerd out over and say, look at the different spires of the columns. Okay, as you were.
I do think start to look alike, including the Vegas one as well. Allegiance, whatever. Yeah.
Allegiant Stadium.
The Vikings Stadium, US Bank Stadium is in use roughly 300 days a year. That's a critical factor. In putting the dome on it or the roof on it. I don't like it, but that's the reality of it. Instead of being used for 8 regular season games, 1 preseason game or 1.5 preseason games, and hopefully 1 or 2 playoff games, you get to use it all of that time. And then the other thing is Jerry Jones, for as despicable of an owner as he is and as poorly as he's run his own team, he paid the freight for his own stadium because he could.
But he also had to. He felt there was an urgency to get it done, and he didn't want to get too deep into the political weeds, from what I remember of the whole discussion.
Okay, that's all fine. I have no problem with that. At the end of the day, for whatever reasons, and it's the Cowboys in Texas. He had plenty of leverage, right?
Yeah,
he didn't exercise the leverage he could have tried to use on the taxpayers of Texas. He just paid for it himself, and he has the most valuable franchise in football.
Yeah. All right. It is Christmas time. you have a story about your daughter when she was young and how she cracked the code on Santa.
And I think there's a 50-50 chance I've told this in some, you know, some prior Zabecast. And so
that's
I apologize
okay.
for those that
we enjoy.
Remember
we enjoy
that.
Retellings. We enjoy yes. annual stories of your
daughter's 5 years old. And she's just one night. She has lost her third tooth ever. Third tooth. We are knee deep in the tooth fairy lore at that point.
What time
about
of year
the
is
tooth
this?
Fairy. Summer.
Okay.
Is summer. And so Tooth Fairy had already come twice and had left $5 and $5 for teeth, which I thought was a pretty good going rate for teeth. When I was a kid, we got a quarter. I got a quarter for my teeth.
That's right.
So the inflation's up. So okay. Here's the scam my kid runs on me at 5 years old. She tells me, I want the tooth another day. I don't want the tooth fairy to come yet. And she's playing with the tooth and examining it and everything. Okay. All right.
She's holding on to it.
She's holding on to it. Yep. And then she changes at bedtime comes. I'm in my bed. She knocks on my door after bedtime, which normally she does not do. And she comes and says, I've changed my mind. I want the tooth fairy to come tonight. Okay, so I go downstairs and we put the tooth under her pillow and go to bed. So Tooth Fairy comes that night, leaves $5, and Tooth Fairy goes back to bed. Morning comes. Knock on my door, 6:15, 6:30, kid's up. She's got the $5 in her hand. Comes marching up to my side of the bed and says, the tooth fairy's not real. You're the tooth fairy, and you're also Santa.
Oh, my God. She's cracked all the mythology in the Charchian
household. She cracked the
code.
She cracked
tooth
the code.
Tooth fairy and Santa. And how did she do it? With a cleverly hidden night vision Ring doorbell camera, which didn't exist at the time? How? How could she have pulled this Columbo-like feat?
I believe she did it by reversing tact on the decision on whether or not to put the tooth under the pillow. Because how does the tooth fairy know at the last minute that now I need to come because it's under the pillow? I think she played the probability. I think she worked me by purposely changing tact late at night.
That is funny as hell. So,
and
it makes sense.
Santa with it.
Makes sense that she is an engineer, correct?
Well, trying.
She's trying to be an engineer.
She's a sophomore.
She's a sophomore. Yeah. She enrolled, though, at the Milwaukee School of Engineering, right?
Yeah, but bailed on that.
Bailed on that.
University of Minnesota.
Okay, but still.
To be a math major.
Math major. Okay, but either way, she has an engineer's mind inside of her.
She does.
From at a little age in which she realized, I can force the decision matrix on my parents, and depending on how they respond, tells me all I need to know about whether the tooth fairy is real. That if she had said to you, well, I don't want the tooth fairy to come, if your answer was, well, I don't control that, why are you talking to me? The fairy comes when the fairy comes. If you had said that, you might have been able to extend her belief for one more year, maybe.
Maybe another year out of that, perhaps. You know, here's two lessons from this. One, don't have kids smarter than you are. And number two, don't have dogs smarter than you are as well. Smart dogs suck. You want dumb, compliant dogs.
Like a golden
Trust
retriever.
Me on this.
Golden retrievers are just big, beautiful, sloppy, dumb, hairy, love balls.
Absolutely. That's a perfect dog.
Okay. You know, someone say they like smart dogs. Have you been done in by one of your smart dogs recently?
Yeah, Scraps.
What did Scraps do?
No, it's every day.
Oh, it's every day.
Every day. Scraps is pretty sure he's the smartest one in the house, and we're just going around making epic fuck-ups all the time, running our day not to his standards. Never get a smart dog, Zabe.
And Scraps is a rescue, too. Not even a purebred smart breed like an Aussie Shepherd or a German Shepherd or what are the most trainable dogs out there?
The smart ones aren't trainable. That's another problem. They got their own plans. They don't involve sitting or fetching or healing. They got bigger things to do.
All right. I believe today, the 23rd, is Festivus. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Yes.
The 23rd. Let's see. Yep. Today is Festivus. Yep. Happy Festivus, Charge. Enjoy your feats of strength and the aluminum pole because you don't put out a Christmas tree nor decorations anymore in your home. Okay?
No. I want to air one grievance if I could.
Quickly.
On Roku, when I just pause the game, it blackens out the whole screen and puts up ads. I just want to pause the game.
Yeah, well.
And you got to put ads on that too?
Yeah.
Come on.
They figured out how to jam more in there. We're running a business here. They've altered the deal, Charge. Pray they don't alter it further.
Alter more. That's right.
All right. Merry Christmas, you Merry Christmas, filthy animal. I love you, buddy. Best. All right. Take care.
Yeah, love you too.
See you. Bye-bye.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.